What's going on? Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. It is heard live every day from noon to 3 on WBT Radio in Charlotte. And if you want exclusive content, like invitations to events, the weekly live stream, my daily show prep with all the links, become a patron, go to thepetecallinershow.com. Make sure you hit the subscribe button, get every episode for free, right to your smartphone or tablet. And again, thank you so much for your support. In watching the Mecklenburg County Commissioners meeting from Tuesday night, I finally was able to watch the entire thing. It's been a very busy week, so I finally got around to watching the rest of the meeting. So I've seen it all in its entirety, the Mecklenburg County Commissioners meeting from earlier this week, where they apparently hate gay people. That's the standard. I'm simply applying a consistent standard, right? If an elected body cited some BS rules and process reason for not recognizing Pride Month, right? The headlines would be that there's obvious animus here towards the people, the LGBTQ+2IAS. I think they want to now add a P in there too. There's a clip making the rounds today on the social media. Came from a radio station where somebody called in. They were talking about something related to Pride Month or something, and somebody called in and they were like, they want to add a P. You know what the P stands for? Not me. But I did toy around with this this name once. Like we arrived at Petenick for their fans of the show and the live streams, and they arrived at the moniker of Petenick's as, you know, fans of the show. I suggested, you know, like if you are like a lover of books, you would call yourself a bibliophile, right? If you love the French and the French dressing and the country of France, you would call yourself what? You want to take a guess at this, John Moore?
A Francophile?
A Francophile indeed, right? If you love doing clerical work, you are a philophile, right? So I suggested, why not call fans of the show
pedophiles?
Right, pedophiles. Oh. They did not like that. That was not a term that they. So we settled on Petenick. Now that is the apparently there is a movement to add a letter P into the. The ever-growing and probably never-ending string of letters for what is sometimes referred to as the alphabet mafia. Well, we'll see how that goes. But that is not the point here, okay? The point is to drag some county commissioners today. No, and I don't mean drag like that. By the way, that was apparently the question out in the debate in San Francisco. That was the mic drop question. That was asked during one of the debates, if you can't name three drag queens, then you can't be mayor. I'll get to that too. But no, there was a county commission meeting on Tuesday, and I believe it is probably the last one of the month. And so, because they usually go away on their summer vacations and stuff like that. And apparently they forgot about the LGBTQ+2IA. They forgot about Pride Month. They forgot to do a proclamation recognizing Pride Month. And at the last minute, and by last minute, I mean the Friday afternoon before the Tuesday meeting, there were a couple of county commissioners who said, hey, let's go ahead and get this proclamation on the agenda. And they sent it over to the county clerk. There were a bunch of emails that went around, but the chairman, George Dunlap, was left off of those emails and nobody ever asked him. And the clerk was like, oh, we're so short staffed over here. It's a Friday and I can't make it. And, you know, there's these deadlines and all this other stuff. And so they tried to put it on the agenda at the meeting, which, by the way, is the process. That is part of the process. Now, the process can be, there's three different avenues to get something added to the agenda. The first is to, I think it's like at least 11 days out, you submit something to the chair. And then there's another deadline, according to the chairman, of like 7 days. And then there is a unanimous consent the night of the meeting. And that's the route that they ended up taking. But it has to be unanimous. All of the 9 commissioners have to agree to amend the agenda, to add something to the agenda. Now, normally you don't like to do that sort of thing because you've got public notification laws and stuff, especially if you're doing something of significance, right? Something really important, like, hey, we're going to raise everybody's taxes. Let's amend the agenda to put that on there. But you've never advertised that you're getting ready to do this sort of thing. Right? That's a problem. That's generally not cool. But if it's a proclamation for Pride Month that you've done for years, it's, according to Commissioner Pat Cotham, it's the same proclamation that you did last year. You're just going to like photocopy it and bring it back for tonight. Well, what's the problem with then just throwing it on the agenda, reading it, doing the handshaking, and letting people, you know, talk about it, and then just move on? What, like, why make this into some big deal? Well, you have to understand the pettiness and vindictiveness that exists on the county commission. And I can tell you that when I arrived back into Charlotte in 2021, when I came back to WBT, from whence I came, I used to be a reporter in the WBT newsroom. And my beat was to cover city council, county commission, and the Charlotte-Mecklenburg School Board. And I did that from like 2000 through 2008 or so. And at the time, 3 of the now current county commissioners were members of the Charlotte-Mecklenburg School Board. George Dunlap, who is now the chair of the Mecklenburg County Commission, George Dunlap was a district rep on the school board. Bill Malik, now on county commission, was a district rep on the school board. And Arthur Griffin, who now is he's at large on the school or on the county commission. He was actually the chairman of the Charlotte-Mecklenburg School Board. So 3 of these individuals were on the Charlotte-Mecklenburg School Board. And I can tell you that 2 of the 3, I'm not, Arthur Griffin, I'm going to set aside because I don't know what all his, you know, personal dynamics are with the other 2 members. But I will tell you that George Dunlap and Bill Malik have butted heads for more than 2 decades. She once allegedly, rumor has it, I was told by another board member at the time, that she had referred to George Dunlap at least on 1 occasion, but I believe it may have been more, but my memory isn't too clear on the background info on the stories. But she had referred to him as roly-poly head because he's bald. Okay, that's... yeah. Though Malik, and I've said this for years, but people don't really understand about her, and I learned very early on covering her on the Charlotte-Mecklenburg School Board, is that she is a political animal. I mean, cut your throat, animal, when it comes to politics. One particular story, she leaned over and told a fellow school board member when there was a renaming of a school, I believe it was for Bishop George Battle, but he was still alive, and so they had a policy that you don't name schools for living people. So this way it doesn't create problems, quid pro quo, conflict of interest, bribery allegations, all sorts of stuff like that. You don't name schools after people who are alive. You do it posthumously. But this was there was a new school opening, and the community had come to Vilma and said, we want the school named after Bishop Battle. Now, I'm not too clear if she was on board or not on board with this idea because her late husband was also a preacher and think they may have been sort of at odds, like the two different churches are competing with to get congregation members or whatever. But be that as it may, she knew what the policy was, but she also knew that she couldn't go against the members of her community that were her voters, right? So she had to stand with them against all of the other school board members. And so she called the white members racists. But before she did so, she leaned over to one of the school board members and said, "Don't you dare vote for this. Now ignore everything I'm about to say." And proceeded to call them all racist. That's the kind of political mind that you are dealing with. Okay? And that has been the case for 20 plus years. Everybody on that board knows this. They all know that. They may get along with her fine. Heck, the last time I saw her at some black political caucus meeting, she gave me a hug. I don't know why. She was like, "Oh, hey, good to see you." Gave me a big old hug. And all. I was like, okay. But that's politics, I guess, right? That's the game of politics, as Pat McCrory might say. So all of these long simmering tensions finally boiled over on Tuesday night. And who got tossed under the bus? Who got the short end of the stick here was the LGBTQ plus 2IA community, right? The ones who had showed up thinking they were going to get a proclamation for Pride Month and then didn't get it because George Dunlap is that petty. That's what this comes down to. He is this petty. And you could say it's warranted. I'm following the rules. That's his cover story. We're going to take a listen to the audio. Oh boy, there's some audio. And look, it's hard for me. I know you're going to ask, like, "Well, Pete, like, who should we be rooting for?" And as I say in a lot of these instances, I'm not rooting for either side here. I'm rooting for injuries. Not just in a rhetorical sense. Okay, I don't want anybody getting hurt. That's I'm a pacifist here, people. No. But I don't have to pull for either one. I recognize their arguments. I understand it. But what it all boils down to is that these people don't like each other. Okay, if you're listening to this podcast, you are obviously paying attention to the world around us. You also have really great taste, I might add. But if you haven't started getting prepared for various emergencies, I got to ask, what are you waiting for? Please call my friends Bill and Jan at Carolina Readiness Supply, and they'll help get you started. If you have no idea how to start, they can help you. If you're an experienced prepper, they can help you too. Being prepared is just smart. We've already established that you're smart. I mean, you listen to this podcast after all. So let's put those smarts into action. Go to CarolinaReadiness.com. That's CarolinaReadiness.com or call them at 828-226-7239. Carolina Readiness Supply has 2,000 square feet of supplies as well as educational materials that you're going to need for any kind of emergency. Veteran-owned Carolina Readiness Supply. Will you be ready when the lights go out? All right, I don't have time to start the audio yet because we're going to start with Vilma Leeks. You knew something was up, I will say this. At the county commission meeting, you knew something was up when Vilma Leek got to do the invocation. Now, normally, people start the invocation, well, I'll say this. In Charlotte, Mecklenburg, elected officials will most often start the invocation. They start the meetings and they do an invocation. And usually it's some, like, poem or, like, some indigenous people's prayer. Some like Hindu thing or a Muslim something or other, right? Every now and again, you might end up with some kind of quasi-Christian thing, maybe, but but that's so like that's the kind of thing they used to start the meetings with like 20 years ago, but not so much anymore because it's, you know, it's inclusive is to just do all of these other types of religious orders and stuff. So Vilma Leek got to do the prayer. And I don't know why she was picked for Tuesday night's prayer. I don't know if it just like became her turn, but she made some comment about it being the first time she's been allowed to do it in a very long time. But when you hear what she said during her quote prayer, you knew there was going to be some fireworks. Let me go over and get Bob on the program first. Hello, Bob. Welcome to the show.
Hey, good afternoon. How you doing? Thank you very much for letting me on your show.
Uh-huh.
Hey, keeping it short and sweet, I've been following this little dust off at the city council over this LGBT thing. And for honesty and everything, let me tell you, I am an American who happens to be black. I'm not an African American. I'm an American who happens to be black. Now, my question is, why in God's name do we need an African American month? Why do we need to have an LGBT month, which I'm totally against, by the way, as a Christian? I'm just going to put that out front. I'm totally against that as a Christian, and how any of the members in your audience who are black could support such a day, I'd be interested in hearing that, because they're hypocrites if they're Christians, because that type of behavior is expressly forbidden in the Bible. Just like I saw Joe Biden last week reaching over to kiss the Pope's ring. And that was highly publicized, and I don't know why the Pope took him on, but Joe Biden is personally responsible for murdering millions. Well, that's too much. Thousands of unborn children. And he kissed the Pope's ring, and he's a Catholic. So hypocrites do exist.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You know, back to the present before I let you go. Thank you again for letting me on. LGBT and this city council, we don't need an LGBT month. You live in the freest country in the world, and if you want to engage in that behavior, go right ahead. It's legal. Thank you very much. Have a good day.
All right, Bob, I appreciate the call. And look, I appreciate the sentiment that you are an American who happens to be black. I appreciate that. A buddy of mine that I've known for years, he is of the exact same belief, and he's not a conservative either, but he rejects that moniker as well, because he's from Texas too, so he predominantly identifies as a Texan. Like, that's the first thing. But I think that's a fair point. Now, as to why they recognize via the proclamations about Pride Month, is because they do this for like every group. All sorts of groups have all sorts of, you know, something awareness month, right? Every single month, the elected bodies are doing these types of things. So this is not that unusual. Yes, I am aware of Vilma Leek's record as a teacher as well, but that is not the purpose of the program today. We are talking about, we're going to start with Vilma Leek's invocation. This is usually where elected officials begin a meeting with some sort of a prayer. And here is how Vilma Leek began the invocation.
Let me first say thank you for the opportunity to bring the invocation on this evening. And I'm happy to have it this way, because I've been waiting all year to pray at this body. I need prayer. You need prayer. All of us do believe in religion. The 15th of June was Saturday. And on Saturday, 43 years ago, my late husband was killed. 43 years ago, on Saturday the 15th.
Her husband was a preacher, and I believe he was killed in a car accident.
So I'm grateful to have this opportunity to share with you my thoughts and my prayers for myself and for this community. As a black woman, and as a woman in politics.
Uh-oh.
People like you and people hate you. And I'm grateful that my experiences have been strong. And I've had the opportunity to serve this community since 1964. And I'm happy that longevity has been a part of my life. I've been criticized for living so long. A member on this board said, you're too old, you need to go home. That's the kind of thought you hear from people who pretend to care about people. But I'm grateful to still be alive after five.
I don't know what that means. I don't know what that means to be alive after five. I thought those were the concerts in downtowns. The Alive After Five show, right? No? Okay.
I'm going to serve until God calls me home. Not man, not woman.
Okay, so she's not leaving office until she's dead. That's what she just said. She will never give up her public service. Because that's what it's about.
And that's what we're here for, to work for the people.
Right.
Each of us have been elected by the people and not ourselves.
Remember, this is a prayer.
We didn't put ourselves
here. This is supposed
to be a
prayer. Yeah.
But to hear some of us talk, we talk like we put ourselves here. So I'm asking you to continue to pray for this community. And as we stop at this point, there's a special part of biblical readings that I believe in. 43 years and still living and have the opportunity to serve. May we bow our heads. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley and the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of many of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. But surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. And thank you for this community for allowing me to sit here and to serve you. 43 years of being lonely without a helpmate. But yet I still stand. For surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen.
Okay. So who do you think she's talking about when she's talking about her enemies there? It's about to get lit, you know? Then there was the request from Commissioner Pat Cotham to add an item to the agenda, to a proclamation, to add a proclamation for Pride Month. And it was seconded by Vilma Leek. And then whenever you do this sort of a thing, because you have to adopt your agenda at the beginning of the meeting, and the agenda is crafted ahead of time, so generally you don't want to be messing with that agenda. But if everybody on the body agrees to add something, usually as benign as a proclamation for something everybody agrees with, so what's the big deal? Here's Commissioner Susan Rodriguez McDowell, who is not a fan of Vilma Leek either.
I just want to say that this has been a struggle tonight, this proclamation, because the way it came about, not because of what it stands for.
Okay.
I'm going to be supporting the motion to add it to our agenda, but I really resent the idea of it becoming a circus. I think it's really unfortunate how this has unfolded. And I just wanted to say that I will always support the LGBTQ community. And I would also like to support my colleagues. But I resent being put in this position tonight.
She resents being put in this what? Why? It's just a motion to add this proclamation to the agenda. The same proclamation that y'all adopted last year, and apparently everybody forgot to add to the agenda at some point in the month or right before the month of June. Nobody did it. So now they're scrambling to get it on the agenda. And if everybody's on board, what's the problem? Why resent the process? Ah, process is a fig leaf here. The actual problem is the personality conflict. All these different people, they got personality conflicts. Vilma Leek has rubbed a lot of people the wrong way over the years. And most recently, her fellow county commissioners, two of whom, remember, there's one who was like, I don't even want to sit next to her anymore because she made all those comments. Remember, she was making all these comments under her breath about, was it Laura Meyer and Susan Rodriguez McDowell? And there were just nasty stuff going on. There's nasty stuff going on, what, last year, I want to say. They do not like each other. And so the process is the cover story here. The petty, vindictive personality conflict, that's the the driving force here. That's the animating issue. County commissioners, this week, let us all in on the dirty little secret that they don't get along. There are a couple of factions inside of the current makeup, but don't worry. The election's just around the corner, and a couple of them are not going to be around, and there's going to be a shuffling of leadership and stuff, but they will nurse their grievances. Make no mistake about that. The agenda item, all right, so just to understand how the process works, you have a meeting, you adopt your agenda that you run the meeting off of, and the agenda gets compiled ahead of time. And so it gets advertised to the public, so we know what's on it. We show up. You're not supposed to be throwing stuff onto the agenda all willy-nilly. That being said, when it comes to something as benign as a proclamation, I say benign, like you can disagree with the proclamation, but it's not, there's no law getting implemented here. There's no taxpayer money being used. It's just a, we recognize you. We see you. You know, like that's it. Come on down, shake the hands, get some pictures. That's it. That's all these proclamations are. Okay, so when the there's three members, it was Pat Cotham, Vilma Leek, and Mark Jarrell, and they asked to amend the agenda, to change it, to add this proclamation for Pride Month, in recognition of Pride Month, and they wanted this on the agenda. It required everybody to agree. So once it's proposed, now everybody gets to speak about it. And here's how Vilma, having just done that invocation, here's how Vilma Leek presents the best case to convince maybe a couple of people who are like, well, I don't know if I want to go along with this. Here's how she attempts to persuade them to agree with her.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Why is this not, why would this not play through? Oh, there we go. That was my fault. That was my fault. Here we go.
Thank you for the opportunity.
You're welcome.
That's not to have a democratic society.
Oh, my gosh.
And in this society, we can make decisions to do what we would like to do.
The democracy.
From the perspective of what we agree with or not agree with. I don't agree with a lot of things, but I'm going to support what I believe is right for the people who've asked for it. And I'm not ashamed to speak to it. And I feel so full tonight that I have to say what I have to say. The people pretend and use any kind of excuses. I don't agree, I do agree. You're either going to support it or not support it. We've asked you to support us as a vote when you go to the polls. And your question ought to always be, what have you done for me lately? That's what you need to ask all of us.
That transactional.
What have you done for me lately and this community to make it better?
She is, by the way, she's a populist demagogue. Just in case you were wondering what that's what this is. Right? Talking about the people this, the people that, right? But at the core here, it is petty grievance.
But yet we drive around, we stand around and grin and say, I am this or I'm that.
Really makes you think.
But whatever is best for our people, I'm going to support it. Well, I'm the mother of one son, and my son suffered in the school system, in this community, because he was gay and died in 1993 of AIDS. I've carried that burden. Many people have laughed at me, not spoken to me because of that. And I don't want anybody else's child to have to suffer. And don't look at me as if I'm crazy. I know exactly what I'm saying. You walk by me and don't speak, and I don't speak. There's a heavy burden on me tonight. So I'm asking you, if you believe in the right thing, do the right thing. And don't use an excuse. I don't like the way it came. Many things come to us that we don't like. But if it's going to make us a better people and live harmoniously together, then we ought to do it. But when election time come, you say the same thing back to them. What have you done for me lately?
See, this is why some of her colleagues don't appreciate her tactics, is because, as I said earlier, she's a political animal. She is casting them as the villain to their own voter base. They don't appreciate that. She's done it for 20 plus years. And people have grown very, very fed up with her and these types of tactics. Because it used to be she would just direct them at Republicans. And they were all fine with that. Problem, no more Republicans. There are no Republicans on the county commission. So that means got to find somebody else. That's what populist demagoguery requires, so you got to find some other villain. Oh, Mr. Roly-Poly Head, you'll do just fine. Right? Laura Meyer, yeah, you'll do just fine as well. She explained to the crowd what's really going on here in case you're confused.
For those who are unaware, what the whole situation is, this proclamation was requested late, and that's really all it comes down to. And there's a process to get something on the agenda. And so we're also following the process. If we vote unanimously, it can be put on the agenda, and then it can go to a vote.
That's true.
And so what we're voting on now is, can it go on the agenda? And that is what the question is. And that is what is being asked of us right now. And I want to say wholeheartedly, not only support it going on the agenda, but I support the proclamation itself, which is supporting Pride Month. Pride Month is June. Black Pride is July.
What?
Charlotte Pride is August.
Wait, what?
This board, I can assure you, we support it all. And tonight, right now, we're voting if we can just put it on the agenda.
3 months? Wait a minute. Pride in June, Black Pride in July, and then Charlotte Pride. Why can't Charlotte Pride be part of Mecklenburg Pride? Or the National Pride? Or like what? So you need a unanimous vote, okay? So obviously they know somebody is not going to, at least one person is not going to vote to put it on the agenda for a reason that is being explained as a process reason, okay? That's it. They totally are fine with the proclamation, and they totally would have done it otherwise, but process. And you didn't get it into the clerk on time. And that's true. It's George Dunlap. He's not going to vote for this. And he is he's also a petty, vindictive kind of guy. He is. Like that's the. And by the way, he has a very bad habit of oozing condescension at people, like all the time. You're going to hear it in the next hour. All right, that'll do it for this episode. Thank you so much for listening. I could not do the show without your support and the support of the businesses that advertise on the podcast. So if you'd like, please support them too and tell them you heard it here. You can also become a patron at my Patreon page or go to thepetecallinershow.com. Again, thank you so much for listening, and don't break anything while I'm gone.